The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
As the wind blows from the uttermost north, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. It is a blustery day here in Shelbyville, Indiana.
The leaves are falling from the trees in showers.
You wouldn't expect that in the fall.
No.
What's going on?
Must have something to do with...
The leaves are changing color and everything. I suspect that there's something afoot.
I blame climate change.
I do too.
Well, we're in agreement on that. Next topic. Well,
because
welcome.
Because the climate is changing because it is now autumn.
Oh, well. Oh. Okay, well, back to the drawing board on that conspiracy.
Okay.
Welcome. It is October 18th, 2010, and we have... big news here in the Ville of Shelby. That is, of course, the grand opening of the new White Castle.
Absolutely. And we're going to be having our first White Castle slider meal in just about 35 minutes.
So we got a lot of stuff to rush through before the sliders arrive.
We really do.
You know, there's a story that's been spreading through the web, which is kind of interesting, but appears to be... factually,
not slider or
no.
White Castle
this
related.
This is completely slider unrelated.
Well, unless of course you take it the grains that are put into the bread.
That's really a stretch.
I know it is. But come on, let's talk about it. Okay, well, I won't spoil it. Go ahead.
I'm not sure we're on. I'm on the same page now. All of a sudden,
Monsanto.
That's true. Okay, all right. Right over my headphones.
That's something that's been going through
that's
the internet.
True. Yeah. There was a story that was published at The Nation a couple of months back by Jeremy Scahill, who has been tracking.
Well, on September 15th, I think. So it's not,
okay,
been
not
all
quite
that
a
long
month.
Ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeremy Scahill has been tracking the rise of mercenaries, the use of mercenaries around the world, really, for the last couple of years, for The Nation and also for Public Radio. He's been a regular guest on Democracy Now with I would say with, now I can't remember the host's name,
with some people,
Scahill has basically been in the lead on this story for quite a while. He's been tracking Blackwater. In fact, he's written a book about Blackwater.
Sorry about the sounds. I'm adjusting.
Yes, we're adjusting our microphones. We're using different pop filters tonight. Going back to using the original pop filters after using the little things that look like foam rubber noses on the ends of the mics.
Although they were really cute.
They were cute, yeah. The story basically, and we talked about it on PID Radio and on A View from the Bunker, that Blackwater has been offering its services to corporate accounts.
You talked about that.
Yes.
And it's a genuine story.
Right.
Unless, of course, you go to Monsanto's homepage.
Yeah, they say nothing to it. And that's disturbing enough because Blackwater has some skills that are very unique and specific to the world of covert operations and military applications. In other words, they basically excel in breaking things and hurting people.
It's not the kind of thing that a farmer expects to have happen to him.
Right. And the story that Scahill published in September was that Monsanto had offered its services to corporate customers like Monsanto and others to infiltrate organizations that might be opposed to Monsanto's development of genetically modified crops, for example. And that's a little disturbing because Monsanto's got a lot of money. You would assume that... the major petroleum companies would find uses for a private army. In fact, there are some dystopian science fiction movies that are based on that theme where government armies are essentially replaced by mercenary armies. In fact, wasn't that part of the Alien movie series? The corporation, the company?
Oh, yes.
It was essentially, it's kind of a, well, it's CIA, but it's like the company. It's also a money-making corporation.
It was the military-industrial complex.
Yes, finally
gone
merged.
Gone mad, yes.
So essentially, that's what we're seeing here with Monsanto offering at its, or rather, excuse me, Blackwater. Now, Z Services, XE. Yeah, offering out its services to corporate clients. But the story has now been published by Pravda in Russia that Monsanto has actually purchased Blackwater. Now, Eric Prince, the founder and CEO or former CEO, had put Blackwater up for sale because he just basically got tired of catching all the flack for the stuff that Blackwater had been involved in. You know, and he's got his money. He'll be fine. He may, who knows, get into other areas where his background as a Navy SEAL can be very useful. But the story Prava published was that Monsanto had purchased Blackwater.
They took a few points and they connected them, and it has... They should not have done that. And it's spreading through the internet like wildfire.
And this is a classic example of something that is unattributed or is attributed to a questionable source and then picked up by people who need the adrenaline rush of getting their doom on so they can, feel that fear.
Well, look, there's enough doom out there without making some up.
Doom based on fact.
Yeah.
We speculate enough here, but at least we try to keep the evidence for the speculation.
Exactly, which is why we bring this up. I spent, maybe an hour this morning trying to track it down. And frankly, every blog that I found that was talking about this, it went back to Pravda.
Right. Now, Pravda does publish some stories that are...
They occasionally have a factual story, which is why I look at Pravda frequently.
Yeah.
It's, the second best, finest investigative journalism on the planet.
Right after Weekly World News. Pravda is not the official, it is not the official news organ of the Soviet Communist Party anymore. Pravda is essentially Russia's answer to the National Enquirer and the Weekly World News.
Mm-hmm.
They have stories that are about as factual as Bat Boy that are regularly published, and you have
Wait a minute.
No, I'm sorry.
Are you implying that there's a problem with Bat Boy stories?
Same category as the Easter Bunny. Sorry. Yes, Virginia, there is no Bat Boy.
I'm going to be depressed the whole rest of the show.
Well, not at least until he won that fabulous makeover competition on that reality show.
Oh, that's
show.
Right. I've forgotten about that.
Well, that is a danger that we run into as Christians trying to discern what is truly going on out there. Yes, the enemy is working through human agents to do us harm. And there are plenty of secret societies and overt attempts to essentially achieve the enemy's end, which is ultimately defeating Jesus Christ when he returns.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of human agents who are happy to sell out and work for the enemy. But please, let's at least base our speculation on evidence that is a little bit better than Pravda.
Well, Pravda is, of course, a fine source of journalism, but I go to Fox News. Actually, this story is at Fox News, but it's an AP story. It's to fight disease, scientists build a better mosquito.
Huh?
That's right. Malaysia could be the first country in Asia to use genetically modified mosquitoes to battle a rise in dengue fever. The program calls for genetically engineered male mosquitoes to be released into the wild that will then mate with females and produce offspring that live shorter lives, thus curbing the population. Let's see. Bad idea.
Yeah, it sounds
genetically
good.
Modified mosquitoes. Let's see. How many movies can I talk about where genetically? Oh, let's see. What's the one where the bugs turn into humans?
Mansquito.
No, oh. Mansquito. No, the good one.
Oh. Mansquito. That was the good one.
No, the one where it's the virus that is in the roach population underneath New York City. And the
Oh, okay. The Judas strain.
The Judas strain, yes. But that's not the name of the movie. But you release things like this into the wild, and you have an assumption about what is going to take place in the wild based on what took place in your lab. Mm-hmm. And it's not always the same.
Mimic. Yeah,
thank you very much. Well, there are many mosquito-borne diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine a worst-case scenario where a genetically modified mosquito is either more efficient at passing along the disease or suddenly is susceptible to diseases he was not susceptible to before. So he gets sick and regurgitates it into your bloodstream while sucking your blood, actually. That's the way these things are spread with mosquitoes.
Well, there are a lot of examples of this type of crossbreeding or that have gone wrong.
Tinkering?
Killer bees, for example.
Yes.
Hey, let's make a better, more efficient bee by bringing these Africanized bees, African bees, and mating them with the North American bees.
I want to do more research on this and find out exactly what the genetically modified gene is, or if they've inserted a gene. I want to find out, but more on that when I know.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, and speaking of diseases and transmitting, of course, we've been encouraged repeatedly, and we're encouraged every season, of course, to get the seasonal flu shot, or as they say in the UK, jab.
Not me, Biddy.
Well, no, I'm not going for it either. They've got a sign-up sheet at work, and my name ain't on there. Again,
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
That reminds me in a little bit about something to do with blood and work.
Okay. Now experts in the UK are finally admitting that the swine flu shot that they've been administering over there may lead to an increased risk of Guillain-Barré, which
that's
is a
bad.
Yeah, that's a very serious nerve condition.
Look, speaking of somebody who has neurological problems, I don't want anybody to have any kind of neuropathy. It stinks.
This is a change in policy for the British government. The Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Agency, or Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency in the UK, now saying that there is a possible connection between the swine flu shot and Guillain-Barré syndrome, whereas previously they said the H1N1 vaccine, no connection whatsoever, no evidence to link what can be a paralyzing condition with the vaccine. Beginning about a year ago, last August, doctors were asked to monitor cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome during the swine flu, pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And the newly published report suggests that the government of the UK has changed positions, and they're saying, well, it could be a slightly elevated risk of Guillain-Barré syndrome following the H1N1 vaccine. They're not admitting to a lot. They're not admitting that this is, they're not saying this is something you shouldn't take, but they're saying there's a slightly elevated risk. Now, frankly, I think I'd rather get the flu than Guillain-Barré.
No, that really bothers me. It really, really bothers me, especially since, and we have talked about this on the show, there are school systems now
mm-hmm.
who are requiring all students, that's even preschool, to take a series of shots, and that includes the new flu shot,
mm-hmm.
which that new flu shot is a cocktail that includes the H1N1 leftover from last year.
Leftover from last year.
Some of it is. That's what I read early on. Now they may be making new batches, but they had some leftover. Hey, what are we going to do with this? Roll it into the one for the fall. Because
mm-hmm.
they make these things 6 months in advance.
Mm-hmm. Which means they have to guess at which strains will be the predominant strains in the coming flu season.
Yep.
So it's about as accurate as trying to predict who's going to win the Super Bowl before the spring training camp begins.
The Colts.
Yeah, but
I would say the Bears, but I'd love to think the Bears would, honey.
Well, at this point, still tied for the best record in the NFC.
I know.
But they're playing with a quarterback with a concussion, so anyway.
Well, I have just added a link to Guillain-Barré syndrome, so you know how to spell it, because it's not the way you think it is.
No, it isn't, and we'll put a link to the article at the Daily Mail in the show notes. Again, the point of the article is not that everyone who gets or the government of the UK is not saying that everyone who took the H1N1 shot or who will get it will develop Guillain-Barré syndrome. They're admitting to a slightly elevated risk, which and the significance is that this is a change in the government's official line.
That's bad.
Yeah, which means that ultimately they'll probably come back later and say, oh, the risk is, well, a little higher than we thought it was. Well, and that is seems to be the way things go when it comes to these changes.
You know, I found an article today, speaking of science, I found an article today at Genome Web, which is a site I go to every day, and it's about a company called Collectis. It's probably Selectis, C-E-L-L-E-C-T-I-S. Head slap. Selectis licenses. You don't often hear Sam barking on the show. I don't know if you can hear him in the background.
Oh, yeah, they can hear him.
Anyway, Selectis licenses stem cell patents. There is a company over in Japan that has been pioneering some stem cell research and methods, and apparently Selectis has come along and patented all the stuff they've done.
Okay.
So I want to know what makes it a moneymaker.
Yeah, and are they patenting the results? Or are they patenting the methods?
I would say the methods.
They're not patenting whatever genome that they or whatever.
And that as well. My guess is that they're jumping in. They've seen a moneymaker, and they're jumping in on the non-exclusive licensing deals cover research conducted by Shinya Yamanaka of the Center for iPS Cell Research and Application at Kyoto University. The agreements allow Selectis and its affiliates to research, develop, and commercialize research tools, human therapeutics, or prophylactics derived from iPSCs in a certain range of differentiated cell lineages. More research on that as well. So there you go. That's today's Genome Web report.
As the ongoing march toward the singularity.
You ever dream?
Well, yeah, I had kind of an odd one the other night. Of course, can't remember it now. But
I'd love to tell you what my dream was last night, but I can't say it on the air.
Wow!
Send me a note. I'll let you know. I will tell you what my sister's dream was, and then we'll get into a story that we discussed prior to the show.
Yeah, this was Debbie was talking to me about this on Saturday.
Yeah, we were going to talk about this in our last show, and we didn't have time. My sister, Debbie, who lived with us for a while and now has a great place here in town, is a nurse. But that's not in any way, shape, or form related to her dream. But she woke up, and it was a very realistic dream. And she said she woke up in her own place. It was her place. There was nothing different about it, aside from the fact that every wall contained graffiti in Arabic language.
Arabic script, huh?
Arabic script in gold lettering outlined in black. And some of the phrases were underlined in black, as if they were super important. And then she heard a she said it terrified her in the dream to see all these things, to wake and find all of who had done this while she was napping. She heard commotion outside and found, to her consternation and frankly, again, a fear factor, that there were people outside tearing down all of the buildings. And these people, frankly, she thought they were African-American at first, but she told me later they may not have been. They simply were dark-complected, and they could have been, you know, again, it was the dream took place, I think, in the middle of the night, so it's hard to tell. They may have just been shadowy. But she said that she didn't really know. They could have been Middle Eastern. They could have been from India. They could have been, you know, just
of African descent, perhaps?
But she said they were tearing down the buildings. Now, to wake up and find Arabic script all over your apartment, not know what it says, and then go out and find the world being torn apart by people who are clearly angry, if not wild-eyed. The first thing I thought of was the Black Awakening. If you are new to PID Radio, The Black Awakening has nothing to do with skin color.
No, absolutely
not. It's a spiritual term.
Right. And we refer you to Russ Dizdar of Shatter the Darkness Ministries for more information on that. Or you can look up the interviews that we've done with Russ about the Black Awakening. That is disturbing. I don't know that Debbie would call it prophetic, but it certainly is. She was talking with me about it on Saturday and said it just really scared her. And Debbie doesn't scare easily.
No, she doesn't.
No.
I wouldn't want to, make Debbie mad at me.
No. But this was something that obviously left her shaken.
Yes, very much so. And that takes us to the next article that we want to talk to you about, and that was, Debbie's dream was quite realistic. I don't know that I would call it lucid.
No.
But there is a type of dream that seems to be on the uptick called lucid dreaming.
Yeah, and this is, if you've seen the new film Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio, in which they basically are able to enter dream worlds, which they can then shape to their will, just reshape by the force of their will. That is what a lucid dream essentially is. You're in the dream, you know it's a dream, and you can change what's happening inside the dream just by thinking about it. And apparently a researcher in the UK believes that we humans are, for some reason, experiencing these lucid dreams more frequently. Says that he estimates, and the article says studies, so apparently more than just one, studies indicate that the number of people in the Western world experiencing the occasional lucid dream has risen between 10 and 40% over the last 20 or 30 years, since the 1980s. Today, so common that about 1 in 8 of us will have at least one in our lives. A lucid dream that feels real, and where you can actually change what's happening inside the dream.
Okay. The first part of it, a dream that feels real, that happens to abductees all the time.
Right.
But for the most part, other than calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus to stop it, you don't get to control your environment very much. The one thing that I did get to do, we've talked before about the experiences that I have had, and the very last one that I had, I actually thought to reach up and rip because this is the Derek-alike, someone who is something that was
pretending to be you. Yeah.
I actually reached up and pulled the face off, which sort of fell away like modeling clay, pulled off, and underneath it was a very ugly reptilian face. It was really hideous. Mm-hmm. That's about as close as I've come to affecting my dream, making a decision and doing it. But what you're talking about is, if I get you right, being nearly hit by a car and then changing the car to a flower.
Something like that, right. Or,
that's a very Buddhist concept.
Yeah, it is. Maybe not oddly, I don't know. As a kid, I had a fascination with dinosaurs. I still think they're cool. Like watching the Jurassic Park movies just because, it takes me back.
Well,
like,
they are cool.
Gosh, anyway, great CGI. But when I had nightmares, very often they were of being pursued by a large, tyrannosaur, frankly. I don't know why. But it got to a point where I was able to say, you know what? I know this isn't real. But I don't know if that's quite what they're describing here. There is research on people who dream that find that during these lucid dreams, the brain activity is almost as high as when we are awake. So, of course, the question becomes, and this would be a question to toss at a researcher, like Dr. Rick Strassman, who conducted the research into DMT. I mean, did they have people wired up to what was it, an EKG or an EEG, an electrode
separately? I think they did, yeah.
To check the brain activity and find out what areas of the brain were responding while this, internal portal was open, and see if it's similar to what lucid dreamers are experiencing or what their brains are doing during these lucid dreams.
Well, there's a site that I found called worldoflucidreaming.com. And I'm sure that there are many, many sites out there. So if you want to do your own Google search, I'm sure you'll get tons of hits. But this site is listing the top – how many are on here? Well, the top ways to – don't see the number. improve your lucid dream recall and be more, I guess, active in your lucid dreaming, affect your world more. These are ways that involve meditation, self-hypnosis, mnemonic induction of lucid dreams. That's one of the techniques involved. And it worries me because there are so many, frankly, seeker-friendly gatherings of people in what's called a church building these days that they frankly get involved in some meditation that is way too close to New Age meditation.
Sure, contemplative prayer.
And it worries me that this may be opening gateways, and frankly, maybe that's one of the reasons for the uptick in lucid dreaming.
Yeah. Hard to know until we dig into this story a little more. Found it right before we began recording this evening. But
need to talk to Joe Jordan about this.
Yeah, and at least forward it to him to get his reaction. And also Mike Tater of StopSleepParalysis.com.
That's right.
Are we really experiencing these dreams more often? Are we as a people, as a race, and I mean the human race, becoming more sensitive to messages from the other side, or is it simply that we're looking at this more and so we're just reporting it more because we're observing it? You know, Schrodinger opened the box and the cat's in there saying, "Close the door, I'm sleeping."
You had to say cat, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know. There seem to be some New Age theories that dreaming is all part of the Akashic field, and that we're just tapping into something. And if we can, this notion of being able to change our world through our own perception and our mental connections, that's another thing about lucid dreaming that I'm sure
New Age.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, again, as Mike Hoggard said in the interview at View from the Bunker this weekend, it's that's the time that your mental and spiritual firewall is down when you're asleep.
Or when you're watching television.
Or,
and I'm not joking.
When
you're watching television
or
watching.
Yeah, engaging in the contemplative prayer. And again, putting yourself into an altered state of consciousness.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. And this is something that bears more research because it may indicate what, you know, where we're headed.
Well, a couple of things before we go. And one is that you are going to be on a blog talk show tonight.
Right. Program is Crosswalk Talk, hosted by, there we go, Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta and Mark Waldman, I believe. We met Carlotta in Canton, Ohio, just briefly, because we were just talking with so many people.
That's right. That's why the name sounded so familiar to me when you told me.
Yeah. But tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, that's GMT-5 at blogtalkradio.com/cross-walk-talk. I'll put a link in the show notes, but I'll be on for an
hour.
And
we'll also tweet it and Facebook it.
And she sent me an email saying that she'd like to have you on as well, talking about your discussion topic from Canton. So,
you know what? I'd love to do. Well, I hope not tonight because this is all
tonight.
You. Maybe another night when I'm not lucid dreaming, which I do even as I'm talking on the show. You just don't know when I'm awake or not. I don't know. But the one thing I wanted to mention before we hang up, so to speak, is we really appreciate the support we get from you guys. And we don't say it every show anymore. So just so you know, and we do have the little blurb at the end where we thank people for your donations. But I got to tell you, this year, honestly, we would not have made it through the year without your help. And I mean that so much.
Yeah.
So thank you very, very much for each one of you who has helped us financially and for everybody who's praying for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Prayers are much needed, but that holds true for all of us. And so, but we thank you for yours and for your support. And
we got sliders.
Yeah. So
sliders are coming.
Slide on out of here. We'll be back again tomorrow, God willing. Coming up Friday night, talk a little bit fiction. Brandon Barr, Mike Lynch, co-authors of the new novel, American Midnight. And tomorrow night, I get to interview, assuming AT&T lets the call go through, Nick Redfern, author of Final Events, a very disturbing book about the UFO phenomenon.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, NaNoWriMo starts in just 10 days.
Get your writing shoes on. Until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone.